Shalom to all. Today's office is Balmetzi Daf Lamed Gimel. We are starting the last two words of Lamed Beis Lamed Beis. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Mars Mem Sar Bas Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Herna Shama should have an Aliyah El Lila Nishmas Mars Freida Chaya Bela Bas Yitzchak Tzvi Herna Shama should have an Aliyah. Now we're in the middle of discussing whether or not Tzar Bali Chaim is Dairaisa, which means the chiyuv that we have to ensure that an animal is not in pain or to try to relieve it from its discomfort is at Dairaisa or the Rabbanon. So Gemara says Tashma. We have a brass that tells us as follows: Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph on the top. Roivetz. When the pasuk says, "If you see your friend's donkey," Roivetz tachas masai. What does Roivetz mean? V'loi ravtzon. It has to be Roivetz. This time it happens to be that it's crouching under its load. But not that this animal always crouches under its load. If that's the situation, you don't have to help out. And furthermore, Roivetz tells us V'loi oimed, not that it's standing. If it's still standing, even though it's struggling with the load, you don't have to help it. You only have to help if it's crouching. Furthermore, the pasuk says tachas masai, under its load, V'loi meforik. That's not if it's unloaded, you do not have to help load the animal. And tachas masai also tells us masai she'achal lamed bai, it has to be a load that it was technically able to withstand, but if it was too much of a load, it was too hard for it, and it was really never able to carry such a load, so then you don't have to help out. Now, if you want to say Tzar Bali Chaim Dairaisa, Mali Roivetz Mali Ravtzon, what does it make a difference if this time it happens to be crouching, or if the animal always crouches? Mali Oimed, what does it make a difference if it's standing? If the animal is struggling and in discomfort, so you should have to help out, Tzar Bali Chaim Dairaisa, and it must be that it's not based off of this Braisa. The Gemara says it's not a Raya, Haman Rabbi Yosei Glili Hi. Who's this Braisa? It's Rabbi Yosei Glili. The Amar, we already know that Rabbi Yosei Glili holds Tzar Bali Chaim Drabanan, but it's still possible that according to the Chachamim, Tzar Bali Chaim is Dairaisa. And Achim Sabra is actually logical to say this Braisa is Rabbi Yosei Glili, Diktani, because the Braisa says, Tachas Masai, and what do we learn from here? Masai Shech Alamid Bai, only time Rechayev to help is if its load was something that it was always able to hold. Now, Man Shah Masalei, the Islai Hai Svara, who do we know of holds this Svara? Rabbi Yosei Glili, it's Rabbi Yosei Glili. Shema Mino, we see from here that this Braisa is Rabbi Yosei Glili, and therefore it's not an indication of what the Chacham hold in regards to Tzar Bali Chaim. Ask him, hold on one second. We must smoke a silk Rabbi Yosei Glili. Are we really able to say this Braisa is Rabbi Yosei Glili? Fakatani Seifa, the Seifa the Braisa says, Tachas Masai, Voloy Meforik. They only have to help it if it has its burden on, but not if it's unloaded. You don't have to help load it. Now, my Lemeforik, what does that mean? That you don't have to help out if it's Meforik. Elim, if you want to say Lemeforik Klal, that you don't have to help out if it's completely unloaded, which means you not have to help load it. Well, Haksev, the Pasuk says, Hakim Takim Imoy, which clearly tells us that you do have to help load an animal. So it can't be that's what the Braisa is saying. Alpshit, that's obvious. Lemeforik Bechinam. When it says you don't have to help out if it's unloaded, which means you do not have to help load it, that means you don't have to help load it for free. Al Beschar, rather, you can charge the person to help load his animal. Am I Chamaslay the Islay Lahai Svara? Who's the one that holds this Svara? Rabbanon. The Rabbanon are the ones that say that you're allowed to charge to help load an animal. So the Braisa is not Rabbi Yosei Glili. The Gemara says no, Rabbi Yosei Glili. He really Braisa is Rabbi Yosei Glili, Ubitinos of Lark Rabbanon. And in regards to loading an animal, he actually agrees to the Rabbanon that you can charge for that. So we have nothing conclusive from here. And the Gemara continues to Rabbanon. We have a Braisa. The Pasuk tells us, Kisira, when you see your friend's donkey struggling, you have to help out. Now, Yachl, you might think based on this Pasuk, Afil Me Rachak, that that's even if you see from very far away, you have to walk all the way there and help him. So Tom Lim, that's why we have another pasuk that says Kisifka, when you encounter him, meaning when you bump into him, and that you don't actually have to walk all the way, even though you see him from a distance. Now, Kisifka, if we just focus on the pasuk Kisifka, Yachol Begia Mamish, you might think that the only time you have to help out is if you mamish bump into him, and even if you have to walk a little bit, you're not going to have to help him. Tom Lim, so the pasuk says Kisira, that it's even when you see him and he's at a distance, you would have to walk to him and help him. So Be'ezu Yiriya Shiesh Ba'Pegia, what's considered seeing him, which means from a distance, but it's still considered Pegia that you're bumping into him. Is he far away from you or is he close to you? And the answer is, Shir Chachamim, Echem Risheva Mechtsa Mil. Chacham estimated this is 1/7 halves parts of a mil, which is basically 2/15 of a mil away, Vizehu Ris, and that's what a Ris is. We know that a mil is 2,000 Amis, and this is 2/15 of a mil. So if you see your friend's donkey at a distance of 2/15 of a mil away from you, you would have to walk that much and help him out. But anything more than that, you don't have to walk. And Tana the Baisa says, Umedata Imay Ad Parsa, that once you help him load his donkey, you still have to walk along with him and his donkey up until a parsa, which is 4 mil. And on Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Chana clarifies, v'noitel schar, he could take schar on that, he doesn't have to do that for free. And moving on to another Mishnah, avidase avedas aviv. Let's say he lost an object, and his father lost an object, and he has the ability to save one of them. So avidase kademes, his aveda comes first, before his father's. Similarly, avidase avedas rabbi, let's say it's his aveda, or his rabbi's aveda, shaloi kadem, his comes first. Now what about avedas aviv, avedas rabbi? His father lost something, and his rabbi lost something, and he's only able to deal with one of them, so shall rabbi kademes, his rabbi's comes first. His father was the one that brought him into this world, but his Rebbe, who taught him Chachma, he brings him into Olam Haba, and that's why his Rebbe comes before his father's. However, if his father's a Chacham, so he has to deal with his father's Aveda before his Rebbe's. And continuing with this, let's say his father and his Rebbe were carrying something, he has to help his Rebbe out first, and then he helps out his father. Let's say his father and Rebbe were captured by Goyim. First he has to redeem his Rebbe, and then his father. He redeems his father, and then he redeems his rabbi. So now the Gemara asks on the beginning of the Mishnah, Manan, immediately, how do we know this? How do we know that he deals with his aveda before his father's or his rabbi's? So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, because Amar Kar, the Pasuk tells us, that there shouldn't be among you an evyon, a poor person. And what do we learn from here? Specifically focusing on the word, b'cha, shalcha, kadam shal kal adam. Yours, your money, your thing, that comes before everybody's, and that's why you could deal with your aveda before your father's and before your rabbi's. However, if I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, kol makayim ba'atz makach, anyone who's makayim this in himself, that he's always focusing on his own things first, even though it's according to the strict letter of the law, saif bala de kach, eventually he's going to come to that, which means if he's always focusing on his own thing, saying, I don't want to be an evyon, I don't want to be poor, so I have the pasuk to support me, I get this first, I get that first, I'm going to deal with my thing and not your thing, so eventually he's going to lose his money and he's going to have to come on to other people. In other words, he should make sure to go with finim yashir sedin and help other people with their things before his own. Everything is by the Mishnah, Avi Rabbi Nice and Masi, Vuchulu, and we continue to Rabbanu from Raisa, Rabbi Sha'amru, this Rebbe that they were talking about in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shalom Dei Chachma, that's talking about a Rebbe that taught him Chachma, Voloi Rabbi Shalom Dei Mikra Mishnah. It's not talking about a Rebbe that taught him Mikra Mishnah, Divrei Rebbe Meir, that's what Meir says. Now, what's the difference between Chachma and Mikra and Mishnah? The Mikra is Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim, Mishnah is just the text of the Mishnah without any explanations, and Chachma, which is also called Gemara, as we're going to see later on, means Svaris and explanations of seemingly contradictory Mishnayas and the reasons behind the Psak of Isser and Heter and Chayv and Potter. And according to Rebbe Meir, that's the Rebbe in the Mishnah. It has to be the Rebbe that taught him Chachma. Whereas Rebbe Yehuda says, Kol Shorayim Chachma Se'emenu, a Rebbe just means somebody who the majority of this person's wisdom is from that Rebbe. Maybe this person only knows Chumash, but whomever he learned Chumash from, so that's his Rebbe. Now Rebbe Yossi says, Afil Loiher Einav El Mishnah Achas, even if this person only clarified one Mishnah for him, he explained one Mishnah to him, Zeh Rabbi, that person considered his Rebbe. And Rav says, Kigan Rav Schayra, this is like Rav Schayra, the Asburn Zoma Listroin. He explained to us what Zoma Listroin is. It's a kli that's mentioned in Mesechus Taharis, and Rav Schayra explained it's a large ladle that's meant for taking the zuama off a dish that's cooking. So Rav Schayra is considered a Rebbe. And another example, Shmuel Karamani Aleh Humi Rabbanon, the Asbury Echad Yer L'Amas HaShechiv Echad Pesach Kivein. Shmuel tore his clothing over one of the Rabbanon that explained this Mishnah to him, even though that's all he did, it was just this explanation. Now we're not going to get into the details, but the general idea over here is that when they went to open the base of Mikdash in the morning, there was one door which was locked from the inside. So a person with a key stuck his hand into a hole in the wall all the way up until his armpit. That's what Amas HaShechi means, literally. And he would open the door from the inside. Now, once that door was open, he would go to the next door and be able to open it very easily. And that's what Pesach Kivein means, quickly and with ease, because that he didn't have to stick his hand in and open it from behind. He was able to open it directly. And Amar Ula says, Talmid Chacham Shehabavel, Amdim Zemim Bnei Zeh, the Talmid Chacham Bavel, they would stand up for each other when they went into the Beis Medrash, Vekarn Zal Zeh, and they would tear Kriya over each other when one of them would pass away. And that's because they spent a lot of time in the Beis Medrash together, always explaining to each other things that they didn't understand, so they were all considered Rebbeim of each other. Now going back to Havedul, any Aved in regards to a lost object, Makam Aviv, if his father's there, Ein Chazon El Rabbi Muvik, he's only going to return it to his Rebbe, who's his Rebbe Muvik, meaning this is his main Rebbe, and only that type of Rebbe comes before his father. Now, Kabbai Menei Rav Chizm Rav Huna, Rav Chizna asked Rav Huna, Talmud Vitzarach Lai Rabbi Mai, what about if we have a Talmud, but his Rebbe needs him? For example, this Talmud learned by other Rebbeim as well, so he has other Svaris and Brises and Mishnayas clear that maybe his Rebbe that he's currently learning by doesn't understand and doesn't know, and so his Rebbe needs him to some extent. What's halacha regarding this Rebbe? So Amalei Rav Huna told Rav Chizda, Chizda, let's rechon halacha, I don't need you, El Tzrichas Li Ad Arba'in Shanin, you need me for another 40 years. And the reason why I told him this is because he thought that Rav Chizda was hinting to him that I'm your Talmud, but you still need me. So that's why I told him this sharp line. Now Ikbadi Adadi, they were makbid on each other, V'loi Ayel Gabi Adadi, and they didn't go visit each other afterwards, they didn't learn with each other. And yes, Rav Chizda Arba'in Tanisa, Mishim Dechalj Dat Rav Huna, Rav Chizda sat and fasted 40 fasts because Rav Huna had Chalish Zadas, because of what he said. And yes, Rav Huna Arba'in Tanisa, Rav Huna sat and fasted 40 fasts, Mishim Dechalj Dat Rav Chizda, because he was Chalish Rav Chizda for suggesting that he needs him. And Itamar Stater of Yitzhak Yosef Amar Yechanon, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, the Halach Rabbi Yehuda, that what's considered a Rebbe, anyone that Rav Chachmasa is Hemenu, even if it's just in Mikra or Mishnah. Whereas Rav Achabar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheshes, Halach Rabbi Yasi, the Halach Rabbi Yasi, that even if you learned one thing from this person, he clarified one Mishnah for you, he's considered your Rebbe. Ask Amar Yehuda, Rabbi Yechanon, Hachid, Rabbi Yechanon really say that? Rabbi Yechanon, Rabbi Yechanon said, Halach Kestam Mishnah, the Halach Kestam Mishnah, Utanan, what's the Stam Mishnah say? Rabbi Shalim De Chachma. And we understand that Rabbi Shalim De Chachma is like Rav Meir, that it has to be Chachma, namely Gemara, and not Mikra or Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, that's not a question. My Chachma, what does our Mishnah mean by saying Chachma, Rav Chachmasai, the majority of his Chachma, even if the majority of his Chachma is just in Chumash or Mishnah? The Gemara continues, Tanabonu Vibrais, Oha Iskim Mikra, people that are involved in Mikra, they learn Tanakh, Tarnavim, Ksuvim, Mida, Ve'ena Mida. That's a measure, meaning they have some Limud, but it's not enough. The Mishnah, if they learn Mishnah, which is just a bare bone text of the Mishnah with no explanations, Mida, Ve'natal Aschar, that's even a bigger measure, and they get Schar for that. Whereas Gemara, if they're learning all the Svaris behind the Mishnah, and the Chamidig Dalam Yizu, there's no Mida that's better than that. And Ulaim Lav wrote some Mishnah, Yasmin Gemara, a person should always run to learn Mishnah more than Gemara. As That itself is contradictory. Amit b'Gemara, you just said in regards to Gemara that in lachamid gadol mizu, there's nothing greater than learning Gemara. B'hadar amit, and then afterwards you said ulam have a rotsal mishnah yosim na Gemara, that you should always run to Mishnah more than Gemara. So what's better, Mishnah or Gemara? Amar b'yechon, b'yechon answer lamin gimel lamin beis on top. B'mei Rebbe nishnas mishnah zu. In the times of Rebbe, this mishnah was taught. Gemara is more important than Mishnah. And then shavku kulei al masnisin, everyone left Mishnah v'azlu baser Gemara, and they went and started learning Gemara. So b'hadar darsh luhu, Rebbe went back and darshan for them ulam have a rotsal mishnah yosim na Gemara. A person should always run to Mishnah more than Gemara. Now let's just pause and explain what's going on over here. This was at an important juncture in the history of the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, because for many years they were persecuted and hounded by the Romans and were unable to have proper communication to work out differences and understandings of Mishnayos and Braisos. And this was mainly expressed in the Bata Midrashim of Hillel and Shammai, so much so that it seemed like there were two different Torahs. Then Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, more commonly known as Rebbe, came along and B'chasdei Hashem developed a close relationship with Antoninus, the Roman emperor. And during this time there was relative peace and calm, so Rebbe gathered all the Chum together to clarify and codify all their knowledge, and it was then that Rebbe made the statement that Gemara is greater than Mishnah, and that's because with Gemara, people are finally able to delve into the reasons behind the Mishnayos and thereby better understand what they were learning. People were learning more Gemara than Mishnah, and they were forgetting the actual text of the Mishnah, and that could lead to very grave mistakes. And so that's why he said afterwards, a person should run to Mishnah more than Gemara. My darsh, what was a drasha that Gemara is more important than Mishnah? So it's kiddush Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai, it's like what Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai darshin. My dechsev, what's pshat in the following pasuk? Hagid la'am pisham, which literally means tell my am, my nation, of their pshayim, which means averes that they did on purpose, ulbeis Yaakov chatoisam, and tell beis Yaakov their chatois, which are sins done inadvertently. What's a limud? Hagilah mepesham il tamil chamim. This is referring to the tamil chamim sheshgagas nasulahem kizdainos, that even though they did something inadvertently, unwillingly, it's as if they did it on purpose. I will explain that in a moment. Ulbeis Yaakov chatoisam. What's this referring to? Elam aretz. This is talking about the amaratim sheshdainos nasulahem kishgagas, that even if they did a zadeh and they did it on purpose, it's as if they only did a b'shaygig because they don't really know the halacha properly anyway. And behind with none, that's pshat in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Have a zara b'talmud. You should be very careful with Talmud, meaning with learning Gemara, all the svaras behind the Mishnah. Shesheigas Talmud oil zadon. Because even if a person is a shaygig and he makes a mistake, it's inadvertent. When it comes to psak and halacha, that's like zadon. It's like he did it on purpose. And that's understanding what we just said. Shkagas nazlam kizdainos. Because the Talmud Chacham doesn't learn the Mishnah properly, and he's going to get all the opinions mixed up, and he's not going to know who said what. And furthermore, if he has a lack of clarity in a svara of what's pshat in this and what's pshat in that, and he doesn't ask his Rebbe, so even if he makes a mistake in psak, that's not really a mistake, that's not a shaygig, it's considered like he did it on purpose because he didn't clarify his learning well enough. And that's why Rebbe said you should always run to Gemara more than Mishnah, because you have to make sure that you understand the svaras behind it. Once we quote Rebbe Yehuda Bar Eloi, the Gemara continues, Darsh Rebbe Yehuda Bar Eloi, Ma'adach Siv, what's pshat in the following pasuk? So let's just read the whole pasuk, and then we're going to explain it bit by bit. The pasuk tells us, Shimu Dvar Hashem Hachared Mal Dvaray, Amru Achechem, Sain Echem, Min Adechem, Laman Shmi Yichbar Hashem, Vinir Besim Chaschem, Vehem Yevayshu. So Rebbe Yehuda Bar Eloi darshins the pasuk, Shimu Dvar Hashem Hachared Mal Dvaray, hear the word of Hashem, who are Charedim to his word, meaning they tremble at his word. Now, who's this referring to? These charedim, el tamid chachamim. This is referring to the tamid chachamim. And they're considered that they're chared, that they tremble for Hashem's word because they work very hard to try to understand what Hashem is saying through Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Amru Achechem, what's that referring to? When we say the word brothers, el bali Mikra, this is referring to people who learn Mikra since they don't understand anything beyond the basic pshat of the pasuk, so they go to the tamid chachamim to ask them for pshat, so they're like brothers. Sain Echem, who's this referring to? Your enemies, el bali Mishnah. This is talking about people who learn Mishnah, and they're considered sainim, enemies of those who learn Gemara, because the people who learn Gemara look at the ones who learn Mishnah as if they're always making mistakes because they're paskening based just off of Mishnah and they don't know Gemara, the reasons behind them. Min adechem, what about the next part of the pasuk? Literally, this means those who cast you away, and that's milashay nida. Eilu ame aretz, these are referring to ame aretz, and they don't know anything, and they generally don't like Talmid Chacham either. Now, the pasuk had said that all of them express laman shmi yichbar Hashem. It's because of me that Hashem is going to be honored. So, Shema Taimer, you might think because they're all haughty and they say that Hashem is going to be honored because of me, the pasuk sivram ubatal sikuyam, their hope is gone, and their sequoy, their chances of seeing Hashem are all done away with, and that they're not going to rejoice when Mashiach comes. So Tam Lomim, that's why the pasuk continues saying, V'nira b'simchaschem, we will all see your joy. The Navi didn't say, I'm going to see your joy. He said, we're going to see your joy. So everyone mentioned the pasuk, we'll be zecher to see Mashiach. Now, Shema Taimer, you might say, Yisrael Yevayshu, that the Yidden are going to be embarrassed and shamed, that even though they're going to see Mashiach, they're still going to be ashamed. So Tam Lomim, that's why the pasuk says, V'heim Yevayshu, they're going to be shamed. Avdi Kacham Yevayshu, this is talking about the Gayim, V'Yisrael Yismachu, but the Yidden are going to rejoice. Hadron Al-Khil Mitzias, Mazar finishing the second paragraph of Mitzia, just like we're Zecha finished this paragraph together, we should be Zecha to finish the entire Mitzecha together, and of course, all of Shas together. And without further ado, we move on to the brand new parak, Parak HaMafkid. Now in this parak, we're going to be learning about the four Shimrim, so let's remember what they are. And the way that we usually find them in the Gemara is Shimer Chinam, Shail, Nesu, Sachar, and Seicher. Shimer Chinam is a custodian, a Shimer, who's working for free, he's not getting paid at all, and his din is the most lenient, he's Pater from everything. If an Inus happens, he doesn't have to pay for that. If it gets stolen or lost. He doesn't have to pay for it. And the only thing he would be chayav for is pshia, as if he's negligent, so he's chayav to pay. Now, a shayla borrower is the exact opposite of a shaymer chinam. He's technically a shaymer on the object, he's watching it, but he has the rights to use it, and he's using it for free. So he's chayav for everything. Of course, pshia, negligence. He's also chayav for gneva and aveda if it gets stolen or lost. And he's even chayav for ines. If something beyond his control happens, he'd be chayav for that as well. The only thing a shayla is not chayav for is mesa machmas malacha. If it dies while he's doing work with it, he's not chayav to pay. And we're going to learn more about that in the Gemara. Now, what about the other two? So we have a shaymer sachar, a noisei sachar, which is a paid custodian. It's a paid shaymer, and he's someone in the middle. He's not chayav for ines, but he is chayav for gneva and aveda. And the reason why is because he has more responsibility for this item because he's getting paid to watch it. So therefore, if it gets stolen or lost under his watch, he'd be chayav to pay for it. And last one is a sachar, a renter. So he has the right to use it, but he's paying for that right to use it. And as machlekes tanoim, if he's considered like a shaymer chinam or like a shaymer sachar. So I begin the brand new parak. The Mishnah says, "Hamafkin is a chaver behema kalim." If someone deposited an animal or kalim by his friend to watch, and they were stolen or lost, and shilim v'loy ratzali shava. This shaymer who's watching the item, who's a shaymer chinam, he decided that he's going to pay for it, and he didn't want to swear to patra himself. Now the Mishnah just pauses and explains. Sharei amru, the chum said, "Shaymer chinam nishba v'yotze." A shaymer chinam, he simply has to swear that it was stolen or lost, and then he'd be putter. He gets off scot free, and that's what we mean by shilim v'loy ratzali shava. He paid, and he didn't want to swear to get out of it. And then what happened? Nimtza ganav. He was found. The ganav has to pay kefel. And let's say when we found the ganav, it turns out that tavachu machar, he had shechted or sold the animal. So then mishal tashlumi arba v'chamisha, he has to pay 4 or 5. And we know this because it's written explicitly in the pasuk that if a person steals a shor or seh, an ox or a sheep, and he sells it or shechts it, he has to pay 4 times the amount of the sheep that he stole and 5 times the amount of the shor that he stole. And that's what happens over here. Now the Mishnah addresses lemi l'shalim. So who does he pay this to? And the answer is lemi shepikadin etzloi, to the one whom the pikadin was by when it was stolen, and that's talking about the shomer. And we're going to see in the Gemara that since the shomer decided to pay for the item instead of getting off scot-free by swearing, so the kefil and dalad v'hei goes to the shomer and not to the original owner of the object. Now what about the opposite? Nishba v'leiratzel shalem, if the shomer decided to swear and he didn't want to pay, and once again nimtza ganav, the ganav was found, mishal tashlumi kefil, he has to pay kefil, tavachu machar, if he had shechted or sold it, mishal tashlumi arba v'chamisha, has to pay 4 or 5, el mi mishalem, who does he pay to? Lebal bikadoin, to the owner of the bikadoin, the owner of this animal or kalim, and that's because he never received his money, so this was always considered his. So Gemara begins by addressing the first part of the Mishnah. Lomalei l'misni behema, v'lomalei l'misni kelim. Why does Mishnah have to mention two cases? That Reuven deposited an animal by Shimon, or that Reuven deposited kelim by Shimon? And the answer is tricha. It's necessary. Ditana behema. If we only had the case of behema, havamina, I would think the behema who the maknali kvela. It's only when the behema is stolen from the shomer and the shomer decides to pay and not swear, that's when the owner is makne the kefil to him, and he says, you know what? You could keep the kefil if the ganav was found. And why would that be? Mishum denafish tircha liyulu lafuka. Because the shomer had to do a lot of work, bring the animal in and bringing it out. And so it's because of that that the owner says, you know what, Shimer, since you paid and you didn't swear, you can have the kefil. Aval kelim, when we're talking about kelim, there's not any tircha, you just stick it on yourself and you leave it there, you put it in your garage and it's there for the whole time. I might say that the owner is not makna the kefil to the Shimer, even if he decides to pay and not swear. And that's what we had to say, that even in that case, the kefil goes to the Shimer. And vitana kelim, if we only had the case of kelim, havamina, I would think that kelim, who the kamakna le kefila, it's only the case of kelim that the owner is makna the kefil to the Shimer when he pays and doesn't swear, because double payment is really not so much. So owner's okay giving that double payment to the shomer. But when we're dealing with an animal, that if it turned out that the ganav shechted or sold it, it's a 4 or 5 times payment. I might say that he's not makna that kefil to him because the owner doesn't want to lose out on so much. So tzricha, that's why we have to have that case as well to say that no, the owner is makna the kefil to him. Now we clarify something fundamental. Rambam asks the following question. A person is not able to be makna something that's not here yet. So how is it in the first case of the Mishnah, when the shomer decided to pay and not swear, and then we subsequently found the ganav, that the ganav is going to pay the kefil or the dalad v'hei to the shomer and not to the original owner? Halachically, how does this kefil belong to him? There was never a kinyan that took place because a person can't be makna something that's not here yet. When the shomer paid and didn't swear, the owner can't be makna kefil to him because there's no kefil here. The ganav wasn't found yet. And this question is vafila rameir, even according to rameir. The amar holds other makna devar shalai bala ilam, that a person could be makna something that's not in the world. Hani mili going pears dekel. It's only something similar to fruits that are growing on a palm tree, David Asu, because we know they're going to come. Even though the fruits haven't started growing yet, we know eventually they're going to grow. So a person can be makna those fruits to somebody else. Aval hachabad over here, lama dalad amun alf on top, mi amr de maganva. Who says that this item is going to be stolen? And vim tim sam de maganva, even if you want to say the item will be stolen, mi amr de mishtak ganiv. Who says the ganiv is going to be found? And vim mishtak ganiv, even if the ganiv is found, mi amr de mishalim. Who says that he's going to have to pay kefil in the first place? Dilma maidu mifter. Maybe he's going to admit to having stolen and he's going to be putter, because we know that maidu be kanas putter and kefil is a kanas, so the person person wouldn't have to pay if he's Maida. So who says there's ever going to be kefil here in the first place? And therefore, even Rav Meir would hold that the owner's not able to be makna the kefil to the shomer. So how does it even work? So we're going to have two answers on this. Amar Rav, Rav says, Nasa ka'imer loy, we make it as if the owner had told the shomer, lichashati ganiv v'tirtzav v'tshalameini, when it's stolen and you decide to pay me, harei parasi k'nui l'chame achshav, my cow is acquired to you already from now, from the moment that I'm handing it to you to watch it for me. And therefore, the shomer could acquire the kefil because it's considered retroactively like he owned the cow the entire time. However, Maskel Rav Zeir, Rav Zeir asks the question, if that's really so, I feel we should say the same applies to the shearings of the animal or any babies born to this animal. Alamatanya, why do we learn in the Braisa? That this is excluding shearings and babies born. In other words, the Shem requires the animal, Imamel acquires the Kefil, but he doesn't acquire anything that comes from the animal, for example, shearings or babies born to it. But why would that be? He should acquire everything. So Alam Rabzer, Rabzer has a different answer than Rava. Nasa ka'imerloi, it's as if the owner told the Shemer, that you acquire everything except for those things. Ask him, my Pascha, what is this definitive? That every single time an owner is being makna his animal to the shomer, if the shomer decides to pay instead of swearing that he's excluding giza sel vade sel, how does that make sense? I think Mara answers that yes. Stama de milsa shivchad aso me'alma avid inish de makni. Then the general understanding is if it's shavach, if it's a gain that's coming from outside, namely kefil, that a person, meaning the owner, is going to be makna to the shomer. Vashivchad migufa avid inish de makni. Something that comes from the body itself, namely babies or shearings, that the owner is not makna to him. Some say there's a different version. Amar Rava, Rava says, and how is the shomer technically able to be kind of the kefil? Nasa ka'imer loy, it's as if the owner told the shomer, lichshat igan v'tirtz of shalmeni, when it gets stolen, you decide that you're going to pay me, samach l'gnei vasa k'nui l'cha. It's acquired to you right before it's stolen. Now, my benau, what's an afkamini between these two different understandings of Rava? Ike benau kushit Reb Zeira. One difference is the question of Reb Zeira. According to the second understanding, we don't have Reb Zeira's question, because right before it's stolen, there's no gizais or vladais, or inami. Alternatively, we could say the kind of agam. If right before it's stolen, it was in an agam, it was in the swamp or is out in the field, and it wasn't in the shomer's rishos, so the shomer would not be able to acquire it if it would only work if it wasn't his rishos. So we just conclude a number of different explanations how it's possible the shomer is able to acquire the kefil of this animal when it's stolen and he decides to pay and not swear. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow. Continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.